This is CliffCentral.com.
Leadership Platform, and it's our Leadership Masterclass, a unique opportunity to influence leaders out there. We are in conversation with Dr. Brenda Hutting. Welcome, Brenda.
Thank you, Adrian.
You're not a stranger to the show. You've been on it a few times on this Leadership Masterclass. And today we're going to have a very specific conversation about a project that you initiated, but there's much more behind it. So we'll try and dig as deep as we can in the next half hour as part of our Leadership Masterclass. And we've just had a conversation with Professor Theo Veltsmann about personal branding, which is quite interesting. But, Brenda, you launched a Learning to Think Like Nelson Mandela project. And I'm understanding that it was sort of formally launched on Mandela Day, which was Tuesday.
It was on Nelson Mandela's birthday on Tuesday. That's
correct. Right. And we've got this Mandela Day all over the world. Let's look at that. Why did you decide to do this? And briefly, what does it entail? And then we can start discussing around that. With me, of course, Louis Groenewald, the old man.
Good morning, Louis. Adrian, yes, thank you for this opportunity. The whole project was actually initiated and was triggered within me when Nelson Mandela died. And I realized with my background where I came from, I needed to bring homage to a iconic leader like Nelson Mandela. So I spent time in the queues lining up to bring homage to him as a white woman all by myself in the rain. And I went to the FNB stadium and I shared in everything there. And then I also, 2 o'clock in the morning, arrived in the queues to actually go to the union buildings. But every single day, just before it was my turn to enter, it was closed. So I went day after day after day. But the wonderful part with that, while I was in the queues, started talking to people about leadership mindsets, value systems, current leaders, the future. And what came out in these many days standing in sun, rain, wind and weather, I realized that it was time to bring a deeper story from my side when Nelson Mandela was concerned to the world, because Nelson Mandela didn't go through any of our academic training and leadership courses. He didn't enroll in some high designer course or executive programs. It was something totally different. And then I realized that I have 4 sons and a few things then started coming together. I was on the board of different universities, and while sitting in these meetings coming from different perspectives of leadership and training and different courses costing an enormous amount of money, I realized that, you know, I, as a mother and also as an academic and a leadership coach, I would like my children to learn what Nelson Mandela had, not what the academic world was actually saying. And then I left the academic world and then set out on this journey to write these books. And yes, it was launched on Tuesday, Learning to Think Like Nelson Mandela, 10 Steps to Live and Lead Like a Pro. And I think he was a professional leader and one of our iconic leaders.
Interesting story there, Louis. So there's a very personal element, yeah? And I am attracted to some of the things you're saying. For example, we are trying to develop leaders in this fast-paced world, not only to lead now, where I think we're behind in how we train leaders or prepare leaders to lead now. What about 10, 20, 30 years from now? So there's something drastically wrong when it comes to leadership development. Yet we are doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results. And we wonder why the world is where the heck it is at the moment. It really is in dire need of great leaders. But now, so you've written a couple of books and definitely articles and things about Mandela. You seem to have given this another twist. It's How to Think Like Nelson Mandela. You have a simple program that you launched officially on his birthday this week. But just tell us a little bit more about that and how did it go? Because I know you want to continue with this. You don't want to – it wasn't something that you just wanted to do on Nelson Mandela Day for 67 minutes and off we go to the next day and the next challenge. You actually want this to impact. And what exactly is the project? A little bit more about that.
Well, the project, the aim of the project is exactly what the title says, Learning to Think Like Nelson Mandela. And maybe I can give a little bit of background where I came from as a little girl. We always thought the apartheid system and the discrimination was between white and black. But as a little girl, I was deeply impacted by the system in terms of having an Afrikaans father, an English mother, and a Sotho nanny that I love deeply. And because of the system, she had to go home because of the laws and the rules, and I was left heartbroken and I didn't understand. So my question that I asked myself is, What are the leaders thinking? What were they thinking? Because to me as a child, this sort of, to me, was...
That system is breaking your heart over and over and over.
Over and over, but not only this. My nanny's name was Favi. And when she would go away because of the system, she would come back sometimes, and then I would have access to her culture and her children and her family, and it broke my heart. So my heart was broken over and over as a child by the system, and that's why I, as a white woman grown up now, could go and sit at the FNB stage and actually bring homage as part of my healing and as part of my understanding. Now, when I actually wrote this, it is part of a larger concept of new leadership DNA, because if we do not change the fundamental fabric of the way of thinking and our values and of social DNA, then we're still going to keep on doing more of the same. It doesn't matter how nicely you package all these things and how pricey they are, it still doesn't make a difference. So the question I said is, I've been busy with leadership development and writing new leadership DNA and the fundamental foundation that we need to lay. I need a spearhead to actually put this out there that will touch the hearts and the minds of the people as it actually touched my hearts and minds, my mind. And the whole Nelson Mandela Project is a call to 67 minutes of service to self. And it's not just a one-day process. It's 67 minutes of service to self every day, because on Nelson Mandela Day, we are called to be of service to others as he was. But we have to understand that nothing's going to change if we don't start with self. So what I've done is I've taken 10 years of work and I've just consolidated it into 10 easy steps, 10 steps to live and lead like a pro. And each step covers a specific step that an iconic leader like Nelson Mandela also covered in his life. Like, the first step is hit the reset button. And I hope that these training courses that are going out will help people just to stop and hit their reset button. And especially within our academic world, we are busy, keep on doing and thinking more of the same, just to say stop. It's really not working. It's not working at the level we want it to work. It maybe worked 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, but we need a total new mindset and just hit the reset button. And this is quite a tall order. Now, the other 10 steps actually follow on this. And what we are hoping is for two things. 10 steps to live and lead like a pro for every individual, meaning we've got a personal individual workbooks that people can take and work through every single day, or as long as it takes you to work through every step. And the other second part is that what we are rolling out now at the moment is a challenge, not only to think new, but to start talking in a new kind of way and a new language. You see, we are always talking about what's wrong, but we hardly ever talk about how we're going to fix it. So we will challenge our current leaders and we will put all these things down and we will protest. The thing is, the hope is that we will stop, and there is a facilitator manual that for over 10 weeks, companies, for 10 weeks, we will give all this information to facilitators. And once a week, for 67 minutes, once a week, a facilitator gets their group together or their team together or their family. We're rolling this out at schools at this stage. Your your grade 11 and 12 students can take younger and say, okay, let's take step one. And in step one, there are a few questions that each one needs to ask themselves, but then discuss something that will make a difference, that we won't only just get people to change their minds, but also the way they actually communicate with each other.
So it's consistency, daily, weekly, preferably.
Daily, weekly, and these that actually enlist on this, we've got a whole year program of what I call Power Tools for Power People. And what's making me very excited is that irrespective of all the leadership programs that are out there, there are CEOs and HR developers, community leaders that are also including this as part of their leadership and including this in terms of running jointly with what we already have there at the moment.
Before we look at the program, so there is a program.
There is a program.
And the foundation of it, you link back to a leader like a Mandela, who seemed to have applied these, which he did not learn in an executive program.
Exactly,
he learned
yes.
it in life, and it probably came fairly naturally. But you are saying people can learn to think like him or act like him within their own personality,
yes.
I guess, within their own makeup. I just want to go a step back, if we may. Then we can come back to some of this. How relevant is Mandela still? He's thinking. There are people challenging it now, of course. For politicians even?
Yes, I would like to ask them if they've ever gone down to into the roots of how the way he was thinking. Because what my research has shown these last 3 or 5 years, what the fundamental roots that Nelson Mandela, and not just Nelson Mandela, we've got other leaders like Gandhi and many of these, are universal principles that are fundamental to all our religions, and these are universal principles. We have to go and have a look at what the roots are. We are going back to what I call fundamental truths that are applicable for everybody. If people want to take what Nelson Mandela was thinking and just make it applicable to the political arena or whatever their own mindset, then it's just an adaptation to what you would like it to be or not to be. The fundamental roots is that people, even humanity, is being rerouted, R-O-O-T, and rerouted, R-O-U-T. It's a fundamental thing right down to a DNA level. Nelson Mandela is just one of many. He's not the only one who used these, but he learned from those who had gone before him to throw out the fundamental legacy of a new foundation that he actually exemplified and he outpictured. I think that will be very unwise because it is still a fundamental golden thread through everything and everybody. And if I may use it, he said, all people are good. So where Nelson Mandela is concerned, it's just as applicable today as the universal principles. And this we actually highlight within our, in this process and
so
program.
His leadership was, you would say, universal?
Universal, yes.
And just as applicable, if not more applicable today, in many respects. And maybe you need to give us an example. First, ask Louis if he wants to come in here. You mentioned the first point here is to reset press the reset button every day.
Yes, I
want to give people a taste of how he thought and how these 10 principles work. But we don't have to go through all of it. Just a bit of a feel. Louis?
Audrey, my main interest is, although I really appreciate the pattern that she's unfolding for us, is previous discussions with Brenda, is a passion and conviction that what this approach does, it does go down to a changing the very DNA of your nature. And therefore, what she feels very, very strongly about, that people can change their behavioral patterns, they can, but then they must let go of the previous methods which just aren't working. So I'm very interested in how you're finding, Brenda, it really does drill down to the changing the actual DNA of your behavior.
Yes. John,
but I do want us to get to that at the end, the DNA component.
So can I just get back to your question that you asked? We have to go back to what is a fundamental universal value that is applicable to all of us and for all of us. And Nelson Mandela said, humanity is fundamentally good.
Okay, so that's a universal principle?
It's a universal
or philosophy
principle
on which he builds his leadership.
Exactly.
Approach.
He even used this where he was in captivity, and he even looked at people opening and closing and locking the doors and said, fundamentally, everything is good. And if you go back to all our religious texts and books, in the beginning, everything was created good. So the question I asked is, so what happened? Because we are in chaos now. And I found the wonderful analogy in the painting in the Sistine Chapel of Michelangelo, where he depicted the initial separation of humanity from the goodness and the connection of the whole of the universe. And what I found is that I'm using this as part of the webinars and also of the training. It's a mindset that we've lost that ability to see the good. Nelson Mandela saw this.
An example. As I said, we lose that vision that people are fundamentally good because of how they act. So if you have politicians who over and over make promises and don't deliver, and you lose trust in them, and you don't believe that they're inherently honest, or inherently is maybe a deep word, that they're not honest, that they are that they have selfish design and desires, then eventually, I guess, people start losing the vision of that fundamental principle that human beings are good. So that doesn't make that truth wrong. That truth is still true.
Exactly.
But it's difficult for human beings to hold on to it when you are disappointed over and over and over. Your parents divorce. Your parents beat you. Your friends. So the whole world is so full of disappointment and hurt. And
exactly.
It's very easy to
exactly.
lose.
Adrian, and this is where the step one is, hit the reset button, because what has happened, we've become disconnected from that universal power and force. And what is interesting is now we can get to scientific fact that this disconnection has occurred right down to a DNA level. So our fundamental potential has been disconnected. And we've inherited this disconnection, and it's spilt over in a mindset and attitudes and behavior.
Part of our embodiments, part of our bodies.
Everything, and our books and our perspectives and our training. And so what I'm basically saying is, listen, guys, let's just stop this and hit the reset button and go back to our roots. And this is the roots that Nelson Mandela went back to. He didn't do it consciously and mindfully and in a course or a... He was really incarcerated for nearly 28 years. And in that process, the outcome was that he must have, and he did hit the reset button, because he could have come out a very vengeful kind of person. But he came out with the best, and in the end, he actually stimulated the best of the best out of the people. We can't lose that. We have to go back. But it's not just him. There are many other leaders before him. Even our religious leaders say exactly the same.
Corporate? Are we seeing this in corporate, though?
Well, I must be very honest. I didn't see it for a long time. And suddenly, there are CEOs and HR developers coming and saying, Brenda, we hear what you are saying. This is so outside the box of what we've been taught and what we've been thinking. But please come and present this in our companies. Take our people through this. Just give them a taste.
But I'm wondering if there are leaders like leaders who press the reset button, leaders who still function from that perspective of, let's say, a universal principle like all humans are good, that have maybe changed their own DNA back to the beginning, or what do you say, to their original self?
Yes, the authentic self.
Yeah, surely they are. It's just such a selfish world, the corporate environment that we sometimes. So our examples we always give of great leaders are Mandela, Gandhi, and then we stop.
Yes,
and we go, okay, hold on. Where are the corporate examples in this?
Exactly. But, Adrian, what's making me so excited that there are one or two people that are not necessary in top leadership that are putting this information out there. And now the leaders are waking up and the CEOs and the top leaders are saying, I can do this differently. On the one hand. On the other hand, there are people that are actually doing, like as you were saying, Louis, in our political situation and say, no, it's not relevant anymore. And then we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So what we are finding, and especially if I maybe can mention this to you, we are also rolling this out within our schools and where our young people are concerned, because you see, if we don't hit the reset button, what's going to happen if we keep on with the roller coaster we are now? So it has to start somewhere. And that's not only because this call is there. The call is also for people to please contact me and let's just do this together. I've really gone to a lot of trouble. Just to get back to your question, why the CEOs and our leaders there find maybe it difficult to do this. When you do this and you hit the reset button, you go through a tiny period I call the dark night of the soul, where you come to realize that the life I led and the way I was thinking could have been totally different if I had this information many years ago. But then I have to let go of my ego. And an ego's got a lot of trappings, and people don't want to let go of the ego. And egos get bruised, and they would like to protect the ego. But in the end, you and we all have to say that we can't keep on with this roller coaster. Let's just hit the reset button together.
So, and Louis, I see you want to jump in. I personally do see in the corporate environment some flickerings of hope. I see leaders who are asking those very difficult questions and who are trying hard to be different from the past and who are trying to find that authentic self of who I really am. I see leaders who are very successful already, but when they start honestly delving into the world of leadership and studying it, and they start trying to uncover what authentic leadership truly is, then they realize, gee whiz, what have I been doing in many respects, Louis?
Well, Brenda, we just gone through a case study of 15 middle managers. In my case, I was driven by this passion that sense of goodness that you spoke about that Mandela is in all these people. And as I analyzed it, sat down with a period of a couple of months, I found each one of them responded warmly and they brought out essences from within their very soul. And my whole attitude towards them changed. But it's got to be driven in the first instance by my personal belief that the goodness is in people.
You see, Louis, you sort of touching something important there. When I go into companies and organizations, you have to put your own ego on hold so you don't get hurt by other people and actually be challenged because they don't understand. And I think this is what many people, and even Nelson Mandela said, we'll have to forgive them, even the apartheid system. They didn't know what they were doing. But many of our leaders today still don't know what they are doing, not because for a lack of trying. It's just for a lack of information and a lack of connection and a lack of understanding. So the whole motivation behind this is to bring a new mindset with a new value system, but a whole new understanding so that we can really move forward into a new future.
Just let's just for a slow person like me, just touch on this DNA thing again.
Okay.
So let's just take it to another level.
Okay.
Because it's definitely something that's needed.
Adrian, I love the word you used, and I've written many articles and books about authentic leadership. Authentic leadership is all about being real. Now, when you are real, you are connected to your full potential. Okay. Power on hold. Potential is more than just a neurophysiology and a mindset. Our full, unique potential is encoded into our DNA. And that's why we can actually test our uniqueness in terms of physicality. What we didn't know or weren't aware of beforehand is the fact that we also have a psychological DNA. And over the eons being disconnected, much of this potential has become disconnected, and we have actually lost our uniqueness and our understanding.
Now, that's powerful, Louis. That's so powerful. So our physical DNA, we all know that. You say there's psychological DNA, yeah. But over time, it's almost like we transferred weaker
exactly.
Psychological DNA
exactly.
of our purpose. It's our spiritual DNA as well.
Yes, I think our spiritual books say that the sins of the fathers will be visited unto the children, meaning the disconnections they have. But now here's a much more deeper thing, a psychological trauma like death. And I think of the children in our war-torn areas and in our poverty-stricken communities actually cause more DNA to disconnect. Meaning that we being separated more and more from our original, authentic goodness.
Unless they have this picture, unless they have context.
Unless somebody comes along and says, let's stop this here. Not only just a psychological, but a mental a change, but a whole change in DNA. And the wonderful thing that I found is, I've got a BSc degree in medical science, is that if you know how, you can actually activate that, and it's not difficult. And this is what I'm doing in my leadership training and development courses, that you can give leaders, CEOs, even our children at school, you can give new tools how to actually activate this DNA. In other words, to reclaim who you really are.
And when you find that, then you start doing impossible things,
you
amazing things.
You start living outside the box. You start creating. You start laying a new foundation. And then you look back and you think to yourself, what was I thinking?
And this was not. This will not be triggered by an executive leadership program or just reading a book or I don't know what in essence triggers it. We've got 1 minute left, but we obviously have to talk about this more.
Well, what triggers it is a sudden trigger of a consciousness and awareness that this is out there and I have a choice. And then you have to make a choice of keep on doing more of the same, or you have to hit the reset button and say, listen, I'm not going to be the part that keeps on doing more of the same. I am making a conscious choice. And then the next step will be is get that information. And if people want to know how, why, and where, they're welcome to contact me, and we can start a whole new wave of change together in the end.
So, Louis, just to wrap up, again, it awakens something inside, almost a spiritual awakening. It seems as a society we're on a hiding to nowhere, on a road that doesn't lead anywhere. We keep trying to use the same programs and the same approaches to change thinking of leaders. It's not working. The coaching industry has grown hugely, executive coaching, leadership coaching, because there's a lack and there's a realization that real change starts happening individually, I think. And now the question is, do we know how to trigger this this potential in people, that they realize that they are someone phenomenal? Louis, final comments, and then Brenda, final.
I really believe, Brenda, that our personal conviction and faith that this is possible, can be done, is crucial, because the more senior position we have, we tend to become more academic, and that's the opposite direction. We should go down to the personal level, who we really are, and trust in the goodness in us.
Thank you. But can I just give you an example? It's also what we call epigenetics. If we have a look at a school of fish, the whole school of fish functions as a unity. Science has shown us that they communicate as one whole unity at a DNA level, and it's called epigenetics. If one tiny little fish changes, just one, and it is for the good, it has a domino effect on the whole school of fish to such an extent that you can actually have, through epigenetics, the influence, a change of species. And what I am finding is we are having a shift in the human DNA of Homo sapiens animalis to Homo sapiens individualis, and then we are going to a Homo sapiens spiritualis. And this is where Nelson Mandela functioned. And it just needs one new tiny little fish in a big dam, in a company, in an organization, in a government, in a family, in a society to change, and the domino effect will take from there.
Dr. Brenda Hutting, thank you so much for joining us again. It's been wonderful having you, and of course, all of you out there, thank you for joining us on our Leadership Masterclass today, How to Think Like Nelson Mandela, but it's actually beyond that. It's how to think like your true potential self. It's to find who you are, and then to think like that real, real, real person. But so many of us are so far from that, and we don't know how to trigger it inside us. But let's certainly walk a road with you and others and get there. Thank you so much.
This is CliffCentral.com.